Michigan Ross has a brand new MBA program. Wait a second. Ross's MBA program has been around for almost 100 years. What's brand new? It now has an online option to add to its menu of part-time programs, as well as its flagship, highly ranked, full-time, two-year MBA program. In fact, Michigan Ross is the highest-ranked business school, per U.S. News, to offer an online MBA, and we're going to learn about it in just a minute. Welcome to the 309th episode of Admissions Straight Talk, the podcast dedicated to graduate admissions and helping you approach the application process thoughtfully and successfully. I'm Linda Abraham, the founder of Accepted and the host of this podcast. My mission and passion is to help you show that you both fit in at your target schools and are a standout in the applicant pool. The result? You get a message one day that causes you to jump up and down shouting, "Yes, I'm in," and not only in, but in at the best program for you. Before I introduce today's guests, I'd like to invite you to take advantage of this show's featured free resource, Why MBA? This free downloadable guide will help you respond to the goals question that is very likely to be part of any MBA application and or interview. You can download this guide at accepted.com/309download. Our guests today are Dr. Wally Hopp, Associate Dean for Part-Time MBA, and Ann Schoen, Associate Admissions Director, Part-Time MBA Programs at Michigan Ross. I'm going to omit my usual bios because they have long ones, both of them, and because there's a lot to talk about with the brand new online MBA program that Ross is offering. So at this point, I just want to say hello and welcome Wally and Ann to Admissions Straight Talk.
Hello.
Thanks for having us.
My pleasure. Now, can you first provide an overview of Ross's new online MBA? And Wally, why don't we start with you?
Sure. Happy to do it. So our new online MBA program is very similar to all of our MBA programs here at Ross. The core curriculum is the same. The elective offerings are overlapping with the electives in other programs. And we have the other characteristics of a Ross MBA, including the action-based learning component, and the MAP projects that we do with industry. So all of those are very much like they would be in any MBA program here at Ross.
So there's no asterisk in the diploma?
The requirements, the rigor, and so forth are all the same. The style of education that relies heavily on group work is the same as it would be in a residential program. The real difference is really just in the medium that we're using to conduct the courses and the other activities. So we're going to do this education at a distance, but we'll do not just the classes at a distance, we'll also do career support, we'll do networking, we'll do events. You know, people will be able to patch into live events here at Ross at a distance using the electronic technology as well. So we hope that the answer is this isn't all that different than any other MBA program here. It's just that you're going to be talking to people like we are right now using digital technology.
Right, right. Now, what made Ross decide to add an online option to its menu of MBA programs? And it does have several options.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, Ann and I are both responsible for the part-time MBA programs here at Ross. And so we're delivering to that niche of the market that wants flexibility to pursue their MBA while they're working. And that's a group of people that care a lot about being able to continue their careers. And so staying where they are and going at the pace that they can go at matters a lot. So as we thought about the needs of those people, it became clear that we could meet those needs more effectively by leveraging technology than we could by insisting on the traditional residential education. And we really got here in more than one step. If you look at our weekend program, it's about one-third digital already.
And so
we had the experience of having students get a good-sized piece of their MBA education over the digital channel and then mixing that with residential experiences. And so basically, this was the next step in that evolution where we said, well, we're going to offer a bigger portion of it in the online format and a smaller portion in the residential format so as to serve people who need more flexibility than the people in our weekend program.
Now, your website touts the flexibility of the program, and clearly that's an important element. That's the motivation for the program. And is there a recommended time to complete the online MBA? Is there a recommended course load per semester? What is the shortest time? What is the longest time?
Yep. Well, the shortest time is probably 2 years. You can definitely do the program in 2 years. It's a pretty hefty workload because you'd be taking something like 4 courses a semester to do that. But that's what a full-time MBA requires. So that's possible. And we expect that there will be some students that will opt for that faster pace. The more typical pace is probably 3.5 years to get the degree. That's what we see in our evening students. That's kind of the median time to get through the program. There are people that will go longer, 4 or 5 years to get through the program. To do it in 3.5 years, you basically take 2 courses a semester.
Right.
And our courses in the online program are offered in a half semester format. So that means that you take 1 course in, say, fall A, 1 course in fall B, and so on. So you'd be taking 1 course at a time, sort of continually through that 3.5 years, which makes it about a 10 to 15 hour a week workload that people would be doing over the course of the semester. And we think that's manageable. We've seen that it's manageable in our evening students, and we think it will be in the online students as well. And so that's sort of how we're starting sort of our recommendations for students in terms of the pace at which they go through the program.
Now, can you describe the residential component of the program?
Yeah. Well, so a distinctive new piece to this degree program is the fact that we have these residencies. And they're there because we want to make sure that we provide the experiences that students can't get through the online channel.
Right.
And so we're going to do some intensive action-based role-playing kinds of experiential learning things here on campus. And we're going to mix the students with other Ross and University of Michigan students. So we want to make sure that we're doing two things. One is that participative learning style that we practice here in our residential programs happens for the online students. And secondly, that they feel like and are part of the University of Michigan Ross network of students and alums. So what we'll be doing in the residencies is they will center around some kind of an activity here on campus. So the first one that will roll out is on business leadership. And so the students will come and they will participate in our extremely successful Ross Crisis Challenge, which is a simulated business crisis where they are managers and they have to manage that crisis, go up in front of a board of directors, and eventually, you know, engage in a press conference with, you know, real reporters from the media. And it's a 24-hour, really intense experience. I mean, when I say 24 hours, it's pretty much round the clock. It's
wow.
In the middle of the night and all kinds of stuff. But we're wrapping a course around that experience. So they will be here with other full-time MBAs, weekend MBAs, non-Ross students in teams, but then they will also be in class with other online MBA students, basically taking a course about business leadership that has as an anchor that Ross Crisis Challenge. And so each of the residencies are modeled like that, that there will be a hackathon, a simulation, a role-playing exercise that they will engage with other students here on campus, and that will be the sort of foundation of a course that integrates their curriculum. They use all the skills that they picked up in the various disciplinary classes and then apply it in a, you know, an engaged active learning sense. So we're really excited about these because they give us a chance to do some pretty exciting things with these students, and that when they get here to campus, they will really be engaged. No sitting, you know, at desks and listening to professors lecture. They're going to be engaged with people when they're here.
Doing. And how long are the residential components?
They're about 3.5 days.
Oh, wow. That is intense.
It is intense. There are 3.5 really intense days. So they'll come and they can be extended a little bit because we have some orientation and socialization, you know, sort of on the ends of those. But they'll come in on, say, Wednesday evening and leave on a Sunday afternoon. So that's kind of we're trying to help people take as little time off of work as they can.
Sure.
To do this, but still be here long enough to really do something intensive.
How will MAP work for the online program?
MAP is something we've done for, 28 years now. So we're pretty good at MAP. So the business of hooking them up with industry sponsors will work just like it does now. They'll bid on projects and they'll get paired up into teams working on projects with various industrial clients. But unlike the projects we have now, where all teams travel to their client and their advisor travels to the client, we will conduct the business of the project via teleconferencing technology like we're doing now. Now this is something that the sponsors have no problem with because they do this all the time. When we talk to our industry sponsors, they go, well, of course, you know, we're using GoToMeeting and, you know, Zoom and all these technologies to run projects all over the world. They're just going to integrate the Ross teams into those projects and we'll run these. So in terms of the learning objectives, in terms of the rubrics for grading the students, in terms of the feedback, because we have this 360 feedback for the teams that we give, all of that's going to be all based on the Ross model. Students will get that experience. They'll just experience it over the web as opposed to via plane travel and live visits to clients.
You know, Accepted as a virtual company, and we've had people, people working for Accepted for years that I have never met in person.
Mm-hmm. And it works. You know,
it works. It works. We've been doing this for 25 years. Yeah. So, you know, you can do it and you can get to know people and you can have a culture. You can, you know, it's not the same as in person. I think there still is a place for that. So I think the fact that you have a residential component is wonderful. But the advantage of virtual and online is that it completely removes, or in this case, almost completely removes, geographic boundaries.
Well, that's a great point because, you know, we've talked to some of our industrial clients and donors and advisory board members and so forth. And after we talk about this program for a little bit, they go, yeah, you know what? There is a disconnect. I went and got my MBA. It was all live. Everybody was in the same room. I went to my job, and all of a sudden, I'm managing remote teams over distance technology. And so in this program, we're going to try to leverage that and prepare people to be better managers and leaders who make use of video conferences and distance technology as a routine part of their day. And so the fact that they've got to manage teams and they've got to, you know, participate in projects that are using this kind of technology, I think it's going to prepare them. And we actually are setting up some of the curriculum to support that. So we've got a course in the works, which is basically effective use of virtual communication technology. How do you conduct effective meetings when the people aren't in the room, right? You can't use quite the same sort of physical cues that you can use, you know, in the room. So, you know, what we're doing here, how do we make that work as effectively as possible? And so hopefully these students will come out even better prepared for managing in the virtual world than students who've gone through a traditional MBA program. We'll see.
You might find that the students in the traditional MBA program need that kind of a course more than the students in the online MBA program because they haven't had the experience. That's also possible, you know.
I think that's going to happen. So there are some spillover effects that will happen out of this program. I will not be at all surprised if some of the courses we're offering get demand from students who are in residential programs. Somebody's off on some kind of a project that's taking them away from Ann Arbor and they would like to be able to fill their requirements. Well, this is here. You know, these projects, there's no reason that a student couldn't, you know, complete a project using distance technology, even though they're in the residential program. So I wouldn't be at all surprised to see these technologies filter into the residential programs. And indeed, they already have in some sense. I mentioned Weekend already does a whole bunch using it. Executive MBA does the same thing. And we're starting to see, you know, some of the flipped classroom style of teaching leverage this technology to help the residential students, you know, get more value for their dollar.
Okay. And can you talk to us a little bit about the admissions process?
Sure. Online MBA. So the admissions process is basically the same as it would be for any of our residential programs. So required GMAT or GRE score, required essays, short answer question, letter of recommendation from your employer, resume, and, you know, sort of an interview. So we don't do the team exercise like the full-time MBA program does, but we do require an interview. And essentially the students will put together their package, apply to the program, and we will conduct the interviews by invitation only after their file has gone for the first read from the committee. The interview does factor into the final admission decision. And in terms of, you know, what we're looking for in a candidate, first and foremost, they have to have the intellectual acumen to be able to sort of, you know, do well in the program, pass the courses, handle the rigor. We're also looking for folks who work well and play well with others. So the collaborative aspect there, obviously teamwork is very important, especially when you're doing it virtually. So we have to make sure that people are team players.
Communication skills, I would assume, would also be really important.
Absolutely, right. And then also lastly, we're looking sort of through the essays and through their letter of recommendation to get a sense of the type of person they are, the kind of impact they've had on their organization. We want to understand that they have a sophisticated view of the world so that when they're in the classroom, they're offering diverse perspectives and will be able to extract value from this program, but also in turn educate their classmates about their particular industry, their functional area, what they're a subject matter expert in, and sort of help lead and guide those discussions.
Okay. And are you, in terms of GMAT or GRE, do you have any preference?
We don't have a preference from an admission standpoint, although the majority of our students do opt for the GMAT, and that is something that may play a factor later on as they're exiting the MBA program in terms of the recruiting process. But from a strictly admission standpoint, there is no preference.
Okay. And what about the essay questions? Are they the same as for the full-time program, or what are the essay questions? Let's say that.
Sure. Yes, they're the same as for all of our programs. So we actually have a series of short answer prompts. They're 100 words each, and we give you 6 different choices, and you have to write on 3 of the topics. So you have some control over the stories you want to share with us. So from the first group, the choices are, I want people to know that I, fill in the blank, I made a difference when I, or fill in that blank, and that's the first set. The second set is, I was humbled when, or I am out of my comfort zone when. And the last pairing is, I was aware that I am different when, or I find it challenging when people XYZ. So that series of questions allows the student, the candidate, to basically be a storyteller and share with us any experience. It could be professional, it could be personal, but it lets us understand the why behind, you know, what they're answering, and also helps us interpret, you know, how did they adapt to that situation? Did they overcome? Did they change? Do they have a growth mindset? So sort of sharing those short personal experiences is a good way to do that. And also it forces them to be succinct. So we want to see good writing skills and it's really hard to write 100 words and tell a story. So much harder than writing a 4-page essay. So we think it's important that they know how to do that.
Now, Ross lays out its criteria for acceptance very clearly on the site. And one of them is, and I'm quoting, fit with the Ross approach to management education as demonstrated through education. How would you describe Ross's approach to management as education?
Wally?
Well, action-based and collaborative. We like people that can roll up their sleeves and get things done. You know, the good old Midwest work ethic is strong here in Ann Arbor. And so we're looking for folks that are going to fit that model, because if you're going to do things like I described in MAP or the residency, then your educational experience depends on your classmates to a great extent. And so folks who are, you know, willing to work with one another, have good people skills, you know, are responsible and so forth, those kinds of attributes are really important to the learning environment here. So the things that Anne just described, you know, that she's looking for in those essays and in the admissions process are things that help us filter out people who would be damaging to that action-based collaborative learning environment here at Ross.
Now, obviously, there's the MAP project, and that's, you know, I think it's a full semester, full-time project, so it's major.
Right.
But is experiential learning and project-based learning a big part of the education outside of math?
Yes. And so, for instance, I teach the core operations class in a full-time program and in this online program. And we do some simulations, you know, so for instance, after they've got their basic skills on inventory management and so forth, we give them a simulated factory to run and they compete with one another. And so it's an intensive, you know, learn by doing kind of experience that can be done, you know, virtually through the simulation. So we try to do that so that it's not a matter of here's a formula, go out and use it. It's more here's a problem, you know, solve it, and then reflect on what you can generalize from this. So that's what I mean with action-based learning. It's more do something specific and generalize to something that's universal, as opposed to just being told, here's the conceptual, you know, generalities, now go apply them to specific instances. People learn a whole lot better from the experiences. I talk to students who've done these simulations. They come back 10 years later. They still remember that, right? They forgot everything I said in class, right? They'll remember those things they do. And so that's why we try to do it in the classes, you know, in the residencies, in the MAP projects. It's just at different levels and different levels of reality. You know, when you're working for a client and you're accountable in MAP, that puts a sort of a level of realism to it that the simulated, you know, factory in my class doesn't quite have. But all of those are, in our terminology, action-based learning.
Right. It's also a very interesting distinction that you made about, like, going from particulars or details to generalities as opposed to learning generalities and applying them to specific situations. Mm-hmm. It's a, you know.
It's deductive versus inductive learning.
Yes.
And so professors tend to be deductive-minded people. We love to learn generalities, you know, theories, and apply them to the world. But managers and most of our students are inductive learners. They see the world and sort of figure out patterns. And so action-based learning is much better suited to people who are in these MBA programs. It might not be as good for a researcher, a PhD student. You know, so we would teach PhD classes differently. But for students who are going to become business leaders and need to be generalists and deal with the complexity of the real world, the inductive approach of going from specific to general is really most effective. And that's why we've really emphasized it pedagogically here at Ross.
Okay. Now, I'd like to go back to the admissions process for a moment, to the interview specifically. Now, you mentioned that there's no team-based discussion, but I'm just curious, is it online or offline?
The interview?
Yeah.
Yeah, we do them virtually. So I figure that would make the most
like sense. Like this, right?
Just like this, yeah.
Right, okay. And will it be mostly behavioral questions, more traditional MBA interview questions?
Yeah, so the interview is typically more sort of behaviorally based. A lot of emphasis is placed on the work history. So the thing that the resume is the only thing that the interviewer will have. So you have to think about that in the admissions process as the resume, as the jumping point for sort of that half hour conversation. So make sure that anything that's relevant and important is listed on that resume that the interviewer can use for that, leading that discussion.
Okay. So you have, obviously you have traditional full-time MBA, you have residential part-time MBAs, and now you have the online part-time option. Other than the very obvious delivery mechanism, is there any difference between the online MBA and the residential part-time MBAs?
Yeah. Well, as little as possible. I mean, our goal was, I mean, we started with the same learning objectives. So the outcomes we're seeking from our students are the same across all the flavors of MBA. So the subject matter, the assessments and so forth are very, very similar across the programs. I guess the one thing that may be a little bit different is the fact that we have these residencies. Because of those, we're turning some things that were co-curriculars, like this Ross Crisis Challenge, we're turning it into a foundation for a course. And so in some sense, we've taken some really interesting co-curricular activities, you know, the things that students did as enrichment, and we've turned them into very, very interesting courses. And so it sort of just pushed us into that space because we wanted to sort of give the students the experience of, you know, being in these role-playing and simulation kinds of things that we do on campus at the same time that they were fulfilling their academic requirements. And so it required us to create a kind of a new course. I'm not sure if that course is going to wind up going backward back into the full-time program. It's possible.
Yeah. But
at least for the moment, we're just a little bit out ahead on the online in that style of learning. So.
Makes sense. Makes sense. Can someone start in the online part-time program and switch either to the traditional part-time or the full-time program? Or do you know yet because the program is so new?
That's a great question, and I get that question a lot, actually. And so essentially, the online and the evening program, residential programs, are our two most flexible options. Our current weekend executive and full-time programs are cohort-based, so it wouldn't be possible for a student to start in the online program and then transfer to any of those three, but they could potentially transfer into the other flexible option, the evening program, but of course, classes are face-to-face here in Ann Arbor during weeknights, so the geography is the big limiting factor there.
And students can leverage those courses, those evening elective courses, even if they remain in the online program. So they could be taking most of their courses online and then come here to Ann Arbor for a particular course they wanted to take live. And that's mostly of interest to people in the Southeast Michigan kind of area.
Right, I would assume so.
Over here every week, but it can be done.
Mm-hmm. Or could it be a student in another graduate department at the University of Michigan?
Yeah, and I think that's going to happen. So we have, and we get quite a few people from other places, medicine and so forth. We get quite a few doctors, you know, in some of our programs getting MBAs. And I think that this is going to be an appealing channel for them because they're busy and being able to fit this into their all of their other responsibilities.
Right.
Yeah. So
is there a work experience requirement for the online MBA?
There is. It's the same for our other part-time MBA programs. So minimum of 12 months work experience post-completion of your undergraduate degree. Average for students admitted to our part-time programs tends to be in the 5 to 7 year range.
Yeah.
And interestingly enough, for this pool that we've seen so far, work experience is tending to skew a little bit higher even. So we're right around the 7 to 8 year.
Okay. All right. Yeah, I would assume that it would skew a little higher because the older you get, the less flexible, you know. Right. At the time the show airs, the next and last application deadline for the inaugural class of the Ross Online MBA, starting in fall 2019, will be May 20th. Okay. Mm-hmm. Any advice for those interested in being part of that inaugural class and starting their online MBA this fall?
Yeah, so I would say first and foremost, study for the GMAT or the GRE, get that taken because that is usually the hardest part of the application process, to be frank. Use your study time for that test prep as a dry run for the time management that you're going to need going into this program. So it's a good opportunity for students to carve out hours of their day to set aside to study because that's what they're going to need. So take the time to have a candid conversation with your employer about what it's going to take, you know, in terms of work flexibility to be successful in the program. Also, your friends and family, let them know that you're embarking on this journey and you may not see them as often as you normally do. So make sure that they're on board because it really does take a village to be successful in a rigorous program like this. So letting everyone know, I think, is always best.
Right. Now, what about those planning ahead to apply next year for the class after that? And are you planning to only have like an August, September intake or are you planning more, you know, multiple intakes in the course of a year or do you know yet?
So for the first year, we're just planning to have a fall intake as we, you know, get everything up and running. And then we're going to sort of see after this initial intake what the demand is like. We have the ability to do a winter intake very easily. We also could add a spring intake. It just depends on, you know, sort of how fast our faculty can get the courses up. And then in terms of sort of what we see in the applicant pool, if we wanted to add one in the future.
See, once we've got the whole contingent of the curriculum rolled out, then people can kind of get on the carousel at any point in time. But we're rolling the curriculum out with the students, so we're going
to see what demand is
to this first cohort and make sure that we get everything up and running smoothly, and then we'll ramp up.
Makes sense. Now, going back to my initial question, I got sidetracked myself. There is, what about those interested in the program but planning ahead, let's say, to apply next fall or winter for the following, let's assume August or September's the fall start?
Sure.
What advice would you have for them?
So I would say same thing about the GMAT or the GRE, because that test is good for 5 years. So start studying now. Also, definitely reach out, give us a call. We do phone consultations pretty much weekly. If you want to take the time to visit campus, that's also a great, way to sort of see what the culture is like here in person. Even talking to some of our student ambassadors. Well, we don't currently have any ambassadors in the online program yet because it's our first class. Our weekend and evening student ambassadors are really wonderful. And a lot of, to Wally's point, a lot of the experiences will be very similar. They're working professionals. They're trying to manage both their professional lives as well as being a student again in their family lives. So they have all great, tips to share with the students. So I would definitely recommend that people reach out to our student ambassadors.
Yeah, that's a great point, because the part-time students do a marvelous job of managing family, work, and school all at the same time. And so,
and I think that's a critical element, really, for any part-time program, is that ability to manage the full-time work and the part-time school. It's very demanding on, in terms of time management. And they do need the support of significant others, family, and employers, frankly. All right.
But I'd hire, anybody that can manage that much complexity in their life is somebody that I would count on, with a business challenge. So
that's true.
They're good people in these programs, and the applicants we have for the online look great as well. Mm-hmm. So we're really excited about that.
What is a frequently asked question about the program that surprised you since you announced the online option is coming to Ross?
So one of the things that I was actually surprised about was when we were planning the program, we were doing it for people who needed more flexibility. So our traditional weekend program, they come every other weekend to campus. So it's a pretty, residential heavy program. And so I was surprised that when we offered the online program, the students were asking, so can I come to campus and how often can I come to campus?
Oh, that's interesting.
Can I travel for MAP? How much can I get involved with? Which I thought was interesting because that I thought the reason they wanted an online program was because they didn't want to come to campus. But I think it just speaks volume of to the kind of place that Ross is. It's exciting. There's a lot of rich extracurriculars. People really want to be on campus. And we are open to having students there as much as they want to physically be here and participate. We just didn't want to make it entirely, burdensome for them to, require that kind of travel.
That is interesting.
It was interesting. So flexibility means more than just being able to take everything on a distance basis and do a lot of self-study. It also means the flexibility to come to campus, to take a live class, and travel to a sponsor. So that was kind of an easy question for us to answer, but it was not one that we had thought about a lot before. It did make us feel good, though, about our decision to integrate the online students into the Ross community when they're here for the residencies, because it's clear that this cohort does not want to be some sort of separate thing that's apart from Ross. They want to be part of the Ross community, and we're going to do our level best to make sure that they are.
The thought that's occurring to me as we're talking is maybe also what they're looking for is community.
Yeah.
In other words, I just said that, except it has its own community and culture, et cetera, virtually, but there is still something that about meeting, and that might be part of what's drawing. It's not just being physically on campus or in the buildings, it's with the other people.
Yep. And we are developing something that we're calling the virtual winter garden. So that will sort of serve that student needs, right? So making sure that they, we're creating a community of learners, even though they're not physically here, they are engaged and they're connecting and they're networking. And so we've got, some really great people at the Academic Innovation Department here on campus helping us develop this really robust, interactive virtual winter garden.
So when we say winter garden, that's the atrium over in the middle of the business school. And the students mix and talk and do all kinds of stuff in there. And we realized that a lot of important, value of the MBA program happens in that space. And so we're trying to recreate some of that experience in this virtual Winter Garden. And we also have, career coaches that will be working with the students to help them with respect to their recruiting efforts. And so the online MBA program is not just a matter of a bunch of online courses. It's the whole experience of the MBA done at a distance with some intensive residencies.
And actually that I had meant to ask about career services for the part-time online MBA. Are they going to have access to career services and recruiting and the coaching that goes with it?
Yep.
And so all about the same. Yeah. So yep. Individualized career development planning, recognizing that a lot of these students are further along in their career than, say, a traditional part-time MBA or even full-time MBA student might be. So whatever that career development plan looks like for them, it's going to be very different. Are they looking to advance internally? Are they looking to change careers, industry functions? So we've got everything from all of our traditional workshops and mock interviewing and LinkedIn and resume help and all of that. But also, leveraging negotiation strategies if you're looking to angle for a promotion, those types of things. So in terms of recruiting, full access to on-campus as well as off-campus searches. So again, that's one of the pieces where students, reminded us that they wanted to be on campus to participate in recruiting. And again, it's totally open, and we're happy to have them here if they're willing to make the trip to participate. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Is there a question you would have liked to answer that I didn't ask?
Well, here's a question that I like to be asked, which is, what has been the impact on business education overall of going down this online channel? Because we tend to talk about it as we're delivering our classic MBA program online. But the reality is, once you dig into the details of how to do that, you deconstruct the business education. You say, let's start with our learning goals. Let's figure out how we service those with all the components of the program. And once you do that, you wind up finding ways to make the education better across the board. So what's happening in our full-time program and in our weekend and evening programs is that we're getting, I think, better assurance of learning models and measures in place as a result of doing all the work that we've done to set up the online MBA program. So I think it's making us a stronger business school across the board for every program we offer, because we've had to think about the very basics of how do we get students to the outcomes here that we've promised. And so it's been a great experience for us as a school, even for the people who aren't particularly involved in the digital part of it yet. So
That's a fascinating observation, but yeah.
For us too. I mean, we weren't thinking about that when we went down this path, but we are now.
I guess you take a step back, you look at something critically, and how can I make it better? And then, well, wait a minute, if I'm making it better this way over here, maybe I can make it better this way over there also.
Sometimes you have to change your perspective to make that happen.
Yeah, for sure.
And it doesn't happen. You think a new and a different program, and you get insights that you wouldn't have come up with otherwise.
Makes sense. And did you have anything that you would have liked me to ask you?
I don't think so. I think you've hit all the major admissions questions for me.
Those are all
okay.
Asked.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. Oh, one maybe that we didn't talk about was class size. That's a common question that I
okay.
get.
What class size do you anticipate for your inaugural class and then in the future?
Yeah. So we are thinking small. So maybe 40 to 60. For our inaugural class, as Wally said, we want to give them a sort of white glove treatment. We want to make sure that this program goes well, as it gets up and running smoothly. So we're not thinking about hundreds of people initially. And then sort of as we progress through the future seasons of admission, we would think steady state would be roughly 60 or so per year. So then kind of on the carousel. So total 120 in year two, 180 by year three.
No, I think we'll get larger than that. I think that the 60, that we're starting with is because we want to make sure that we have exceptional quality, right? Because a big part of the quality of the student experience depends on the quality of your cohort, right? Sure. And so this is going to be a great cohort, and we're keeping it small to get there. The size that it grows to depends really on the market size. And right now, it looks to me like there's a bigger market for this than maybe we thought. I mean, the number of people that we've talked to who've said, you know, yes, I realize I have the credentials to get into a full-time MBA program, but I don't want that. My life, just won't support that now. So I wouldn't be surprised if our, you know, entering class is up into the low hundreds in steady state, but not right away. Right now, mm-hmm. 60 coming in this first year is good. You know, mm-hmm. once upon a time, we had 400 students a year entering into our evening program. So will we grow to that size in this program? Maybe, but only if we can do it at quality. I mean, here at Ross, it's quality first, quantity second, and we're going to stick with that. There's no way we're going to sacrifice quality to build up.
Right. Right. And you might also, like we discussed, have intakes at different times of years.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's right. So when I say how many per year, that would be
across multiple intakes. Right. Okay.
And also they progress at their own pace. So some may graduate in 3 years, some may graduate in 5 or 7. So kind of however many active students we have, that's going to be very variable.
Yeah. Right. So steady state measure is how many do you take in and put out a year? Right. That's what you measure. The number of people inside the program depends on how many, you know, how long they take to get through.
Right.
And that,
sure.
That will vary. And we want it to vary for the student. That's what flexibility means.
Right. I mean, if that's what you're offering, then you have to, it's not a lockstep program.
No. Right. And that's deliberate. I mean, we could have gone down that, but we have that in the weekend program. If you want a lockstep program that has a very intense network and a great social environment, the weekend is it. And we love that program and we're not backing away from it. But this program is meant to address the needs of people for whom that's really not a practical option.
Okay. Well, I want to thank you both, Anne and Wally, for joining me today. I've enjoyed very much learning about the Ross Online MBA. Where can listeners learn more about it?
You can visit our website at michiganross.umich.edu to learn all about the online MBA.
Okay, sounds good. We're going to include links in the show notes at exhibit.com/309 to both the Ross Online MBA as well as to YMBA, the resource I mentioned at the beginning, and related resources and podcasts. Listener, thank you too for tuning in to this, our 309th episode. If you find this show helpful, subscribe in iTunes, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, or whatever podcatcher you prefer. So don't miss anything. You can find subscribe links at exhibit.com/309. This is Admission Straight Talk, produced by Accepted, and I am your host, Linda Abraham. I'll talk to you again next week.
Our theme music is provided by podcastthemes.com.